You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Now that you can tow whatever you need, want. The only acceptable use of the word but is right after the word kick. The all-new 2008 Ford Super Duty. Built Ford tough.
The Ford F-Series pickup was a best-selling vehicle for 26 years. Not today, though, John. The tide has turned and the ripples are going to be felt far and wide. Ford simply made a bet, made big bucks, but today they and their employees are going to play. It was announced this week the Japanese-made fuel-efficient Honda Civic has become the number one seller in the country. David Welch, the Detroit Bureau Chief for Business Week, is joining us. Billions were spent, David, on convincing America they needed bigger, better, faster. Now consumers are turning their backs. The automobile industry is in trouble.
Indeed it is. What we're seeing here is sort of a rolling back the clock a few decades on the kinds of cars Americans really want. You know, the whole SUV phenomenon that really started in earnest in the early 90s is really going away because of fuel prices. And you know, even before that, there were green concerns and greater political awareness about, you know, how we get our oil. And that's really turned Americans away from these vehicles. That's what Detroit was best at making, and now they're really suffering.
I mean, interestingly enough, it was actually a federal law, right, that mandates the kind of mileage that cars must get. But it didn't seem, the rules never seemed to coincide with the realities of what the marketplace was offering in terms of fuel.
No, it didn't. Well, going way back to the 70s when they passed the Corporate Average Fuel Economy Law, or CAFE as it's usually called, they had been setting tough targets on passenger cars, and the idea was basically to get America to use less fuel. You know, Nixon was the first president to say we're going to get off foreign oil, and every president since then has said it, and we just keep using more and more of the stuff. But what happened was there was a separate category for trucks, and you know, the big three made big family haulers, and way back then it was a big station wagon with a V8 engine. You know, I grew up in a big Chevy Impala wagon, tooling around in that was the family car. It had a big V8. It didn't do well on gas. And they figured out that they could make a similar vehicle on a truck frame. And you know, then you had the Grand Cherokee and the Ford Explorer, and everybody else got into that market as well.
And they were exempt. They were exempt from the fuel standards and the emission standards, right?
Well, they weren't exempt. They just had a much easier target to hit.
I see.
So you could put big V8s in these things. You could make them big. You could make them heavy. You could make them powerful. And they were sort of like a big luxury vehicle for the middle class because they were roomy and late. You know, later on they got leather seats and great stereos and all the other goodies that only luxury cars had going back to the 70s.
Well, there was lots of bad news from the industry this week. You had GM saying that they're going to stop making pickups and SUVs at 4 North American plants. You had them cutting North American production at Ford for the rest of the year. So where are they headed?
Well, what they just announced, particularly GM, is a massive, massive shift. And the other part of those announcements at GM were, you know, first they are shutting down 4 truck plants, and then they're adding production to 2 passenger car plants, which really shows you that, you know, even they know now that they've got to make passenger cars. They also announced they approved the Chevrolet Volt, that's the electric car that will come to market late 2010, and they said that they were going to come out with 2 new compacts. So they're really shifting, you know, what they make to meet the sort of emerging consumer demand for something small.
But the question is, can they do it in time? The real mystery to me, David, is how did the industry convince Americans that they needed four-wheel drive when they never go off the road, ever? And Americans have been hauling that four-wheel drive around for decades, you know, and burning it up in a bad fuel economy. But why did Americans decide they wanted to have that sort of thing?
You know, Actually, the SUVs started off, most of them weren't all-wheel drive. They were just big rear-wheel drive, sort of truck-based family cars. You know, that's sort of what the SUV started out as. But, you know, in the 90s, we sort of had this kind of urban cowboy thing where people were buying pickup trucks who never used that bed. It was sort of a macho statement for some. You know, others, you know, I think in the 90s, a lot of people were wearing, you know, flannel shirts. There was sort of that Pacific Northwest scene, and being an outdoorsy kind of person and driving an SUV was kind of the hip fashion bit, right?
So, and it was cool.
It was cool.
It was. And then, you know, once people were wanting to be outdoorsy, the automakers, to market to them and reach that sensibility, you know, they had to say, hey, you can tow and haul the most. So if you've got your boat and your horse trailer, which most of these people didn't have, you can tow it no matter how big it is. Oh, and by the way, it's got the best off-road capability. And the closest most people came to using that four-wheel drive or off-road capability, unless they lived someplace where it snowed a lot, was probably taking speed bumps in the Montessori school parking lot.
David, you say that there's another way that folks can be macho today. What did you say about those things you can put on your feet?
Yeah. Well, rather than spending $100 every time you fill up the tank of your pickup truck, you know, spend $200 on a pair of cowboy boots and be done with it.
That's right. It'd be much, much cheaper.
You know, I lived in Texas for 5 years. You can wear those things for 10 years before they look bad.
Fuel efficiency suggestions from our friend David Welch, Detroit Bureau Chief for Business Week. Thanks.